California and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownCodger.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Ty Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Berkeley, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called in the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, and thanks you for that nice introduction, and I wanted to thank you all for covering for me while I've been on the road, and people in the chat room asking how was my trip. I had a wonderful time hanging down with my daughter, son-in-law, and two lovely grandsons, and I have barely been available to the shop or on Facebook, but a little bit, when I've been planning something new. And I'm going to tell you all about it at the risk of you're all going to go, what the heck is she talking about? But I'm just going to briefly talk about it. Ollie knows what's coming, see? Okay, what's coming is model railroading, folks. Okay, ready for that? Is that all right? Model railroading.
It is. It sounds good.
That's right. Okay. So what y'all don't know about me, who know me through hoodoo, and what y'all don't know about me who know me through comic books, and what y'all don't know about me who know me through fortune-telling, if you ever been to my home, wherever it's been, now it's been in Northern California for most of my life, you know that I like Americana. I like USA. I like whatever it is. I just like it. And I love trains. I have always loved trains. In fact, my mother wrote a short story about me when I was 4 years old called Nanny and the Trains, and even had it published. And so I've been a train lover all my life. One of my great, you know how you lose things in a divorce? I know y'all haven't ever had that happen. Well, when you lose things in a divorce, there's always that, I used to have that. Well, that was my my Lionel H.O. scale. So I've decided time has come. We are putting in a garden scale. That's G scale. I don't know if all of you even know what I'm talking about. G scale railroad at Lucky Mojo. Okay? I just want to throw that out there. Y'all going to go, what? Okay? G scale 1 to 20.3. You know, let's get technical. It is modeled and Charles Porterfield, Professor Porterfield, a good root worker in his own right, would know what I meant. It's modeled on, as opposed to, it's not a toy train, a train that's called the East Tennessee and Western North Carolina Railroad, otherwise known as the Tweetsie. But we're not in East Tennessee exactly, and we're not in North Carolina exactly. So it's going to be the East Tennessee and West Northern California. But that way I can use Tweetsie marked stock. Now, what else is going to happen here? And this is where it gets Americana-like. we're going to talk in this train about the history of railroading, and we're also going to have this train represent the history of music, and you all know how much I love music and how much I love hoodoo music. And there's going to be different little stations, and at the different little stations, there's going to be little modeled musicians, and they're going to be playing music. And just for starters, I know the two we're going to start with will be Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman, singing All Around the Water Tank, Waiting for a Train.
Pat Yodeler.
The Blue Yodeler, that's right. And at the other station is going to be a man who was one of my personal mentors, friend, surrogate grandpa, a guy named Jesse Fuller. And he was born in Georgia, came out to California to escape segregation in the South, and lived in Oakland, California. He was a blues musician. He's best known for writing San Francisco Bay Blues. I guess a lot of people know that song. But he also wrote a nice song called Leaving Memphis, Frisco Bound. And he described working on the railroads. And he was really he was just one of those people who was so influential in my life. He taught me a lot about living. He taught me a lot about, I don't know, how to be a good person. And I'm now about as old as he was. We're going to have Jesse Fuller. He was known as the Lone Cat, which is interesting because I was also known as Cat when I met him. It was kind of neat, like, my name is Cat, and he's the Lone Cat, Jesse Lone Cat Fuller. He was a one-man band. And to the people in the chat, 1 to 20.3, that's what G scale is, 1 colon 20.3. Just write that in, type it in, you'll get it. Okay? They're asking, what's G scale? What's G scale? No, not 20.4. 20.3. There you go. Okay. That's it. That's my G scale. There's lots of other G scales. Otherwise, on this large scale. All right. So there you go. So we're going to have Jesse Fuller playing music. And what does this have to do with Lucky Mojo? Well, y'all know the Rock City Barn. That's in Tennessee. And y'all know I like those old-fashioned labels, and I like what I'm doing. And I'm just going to say this one more thing. I'm going to turn it over to everybody else here. We'll have a whole panel discussion on hoodoo. But I just hit a brick wall last month having to do with enough is enough with all this crap about El Legua, okay, and Legba and Baron Samedi. And I just said, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, and fuck y'all. Y'all are stupid, okay? Hoodoo is American. Hoodoo is American. And so I wanted to talk about America. I've been talking about America the whole time. Doc Murphy says, people get ready, there's a train a-coming, that's for sure. That's for sure. Picking up passengers from coast to coast. All righty, so there you go. I'm from one of my interests in why I'm doing Lucky Mojo the way I do it is it's American folk magic, folks. So we're going to talk about the train, and we're going to talk about some of those beautiful things. I will not bore you all on this radio show too often. I'll have my own little blog and wiki or whatever for the train, so don't worry about that. Okay. All right. I'm done.
Multiple
so that was well, I had to say it because everyone is like, what the fuck is she up to?
You'll notice, and that's not an uncommon thing for people who are of high intelligence. They have these multiple interests, but there's usually a theme that kind of or a thread that kind of runs through those multiple interests, and we can see that with yours. You know, there is a very clear preservation of these really cool things that are going on in your interest. And while they may seem disparate, like someone goes model trains and hoodoo, there's actually a connection there, and that connection is American culture, you know.
Well, you know, but more than that, remember I've talked before about some of these Jewish manufacturers of medical and pharmaceutical and hoodoo supplies, okay? Well, one of the things that LaRue Marx down in Memphis told me, we were talking about, you know, how they transported the stuff. They got the stuff from Valmore up in Chicago and how they, you know, and he goes, Abe Plow, now he was another one of these Jewish manufacturers, although he mostly did medical, but he did do the Black and White Dream Book, and he did, I got to say, like many of these Jewish manufacturers, he really wanted to promote what was then called Negro accomplishments, right? So he put out a thing called the Black and White Dream Book. and it was about the Negro accomplishments, and it was all drawn by some black artist, and it was like he was really into it. But what LaRue Marx said to me to show how successful Abe Plow was, he had his own railroad siding. That's what he said. That was his, like that was a man, and he was a man. He had his own railroad siding. Now, his formula for black and white skin soap, we still make and sell. I mean, we don't make it. We buy it from Memphis. Black and white skin soap is still made, and that was Abe Plow's company. So there was a lot going on with that, with trains. And so the idea that the herbs, for instance, all the whole national, the nationwide distribution of herbs came out of Indiana. And Joseph Meyer, he had his own railroad siding. You know what I mean? If you were anybody in those days, you had. So Lucky Mojo's going to have its own railroad siding.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That was perfect.
That was it. But we're just not gonna go with all of this. I'm not gonna play games anymore with the people who want to play voodoo with me. Okay? I'm just gonna look at them and go. Go play with yourself, man, because I'm not playing.
I totally hear you. I have a quick announcement of my own.
Sure, go ahead.
Panel discussion. Today, in a couple hours after the radio show at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I will be back on Blog Talk Radio talking about my book, Sentismo Muerte. So completely taking a turn away from hoodoo for a bit. But anyone who's interested... Anyone who's interested in learning a little bit about the history of Anna, we'll go a little bit beyond the book and talking in depth about her history, her myth, her legends, where she kind of came from, where I believe as a scholar she's headed, how to work with her. So it's going to be my, a discussion with me both as a scholar as well as a practitioner who works with Sentismo Muerte. So if anyone's interested, I'm going to put the link in the chat, and this is called, the radio show is called Soul Revolution with Lori. And I will be on there today at 7 p.m. So you guys can stop by.
Wonderful. And, you know, I don't mean to put anyone down by this. And you all know, before I had Lucky Mojo, I had the Lucky W. Amulet Archive. I'm all about folk magic from all around the world. But I don't mean to say that they can all be made into one, because they can't.
That's exactly the point. And there's a, you know, I think that's where the difference really comes into the way we approach things. There's a variety of folk magic, and a lot of people have multiple interests and walk multiple paths and have, you know, a variety of things going on. But when you kind of meld it all together is when it becomes kind of
well, you know, Doc Murphy said in the chat, Americans mix. It's what happens, rightly or wrongly. Boring anthropologist pipes up. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, Doc Murphy. There's mixing things together, and there's
right.
just making mush. And what happens with the mush is that when you start telling people, and I'm not saying that you're doing it, Doc Murphy, or that anybody, but I will tell that there are a few who's doing it, they will say, well, you can't have hoodoo without Santissima Muerte. And I'm just going to go, fuck you, right? You can't have hoodoo without a charge of the goddess. No. Right.
Well, there's a difference, and it should be noted, between the natural development of culture that comes from cultural encounters, right? So American culture is a mix, but it's not in the sense of appropriative where you go, you know what, I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that. It's more along cultures that meet one another, and we see the same thing happen in the Mediterranean region, Greco-Egyptian culture, you know, develop out of an encounter between cultures. It's a natural, organic process.
Yeah.
And that's
what
you can say about America.
Well, that's, you know, I'm trying to be friendly to everybody, but like I said, I've given up being friendly to everybody. I'm only being friendly about half of people now, okay?
There you go.
Okay. So
well,
here
I support
you go.
That idea. Go for it.
If I can keep up being friendly to half the people half the time, that'll be best I can do.
Really,
all right, we better bring in our guest here, Kai. You've been listening to this patiently, and I know, Kai, you are also another one who has a background in hoodoo, and you also, like me, like Ollie, are interested in worldwide folk magic, right?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Kai. This is it's always a pleasure to have you. And I know your base is in Berkeley, but you're in New York right now for the while, right?
Yeah, you know, I've been visiting family in New York. I had a wonderful summer, and it's just been a unique period of some traveling, some soul searching, some finding good stuff, a very Six of Cups kind of period in my life, resolving things in the past and bringing harmony to the future. It's been a really positive experience.
Oh, that's great. I know we were watching you on Facebook. We saw the post from Greece and everything. I mean, you've been all over the world since spring. Last time we saw you down here was in May. Come home soon. We miss you.
Oh, I definitely. I mean, I miss the Bay. I miss California very, very much, especially because it's getting really cold over here in New York now.
Yeah. Well, that's about time to leave. That's about the time to leave, indeed. When you start having to think, do I need to buy that other overcoat? That's the time to hitch a freight train and ride, you know?
Absolutely.
Like the old song says, I'm going to where the climate suits my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Kai, we have a panel discussion with a few minutes left of it here, and I would really like to get into it a little bit. One of the things that you do and that that some of the rest of us do, too, when we do consultations with people, we do a lot, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's all about the love and the boyfriend and the money and that and the other. But we do a lot of consultations from people who want to know how they themselves can get to where we are as root workers, as spiritual people. Some people need professional services, a healer. Some people need a plan, how to get from being broken to being whole and being a professional psychic, things like that. And some people just want to develop their own psychic skills. And I know that you do, because you gave a beautiful workshop at the Huda Heritage Festival in Forestville in May 2013 on healing. And I wanted to kind of get into this idea of healing for the purpose of opening up one's connection to spirit, to God, to divination, to prophecy. Tell me what you think about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think that there is sometimes a fine line between conjure and, say, more spiritual, less forceful modes. And I think that, to me, some of the best psychic development work comes from that very space in between. And when I say that, I really mean working with the spirits that walk with you and really beginning to open yourself up to their guidance and beginning to hear them. Because if you can begin to channel messages from your ancestral helping spirits, from your spiritual court, however, you know, that looks in your particular cosmology, once you do that, once you start working with the spirits that are closest to you, you begin to understand where that voice is in your life, that voice from outside of yourself, or those, and by voice I mean, you know, where those images might be coming from, those images that are telling you, oh, this is what's going on, because I'm seeing this doll baby in your life that was crafted, you know, against you, or I'm seeing this job coming into your life. Once you start working with those spirits that walk with you and are already trying to speak to me, this is really the perfect place to begin. And when people really sort of want to, mojans are wonderful and candles are wonderful, absolutely. But when people want to sort of go for magical ways of increasing psychic development without looking at the spiritual ways that are right there and that are also connected to their own life's fate and soul's purpose, I think they're kind of missing the gold.
So if a client comes to you and says, you know, I dabbled. This is the word they always say, especially the white Southerners. The actual proper term among white Southern women is dabbled, right? They don't say with what. They just say I dabbled, right? Have you all ever heard that phrase? Can I get a yes from Miss Tammy Lee? They go, well, my sister dabbled. I dabbled. Well, so someone comes to you and they say, I dabbled. But now, Ms. Tammy Lee says, yes, yes, indeed. I dabbled. What they mean is I had a tarot deck given to me or something, or maybe I lit a candle once. But these are people who want to know. Now, a lot of times they're hitting their 40s and 50s. These are women who've suddenly sat back and they went, you know, I don't want to just dabble anymore. I'm getting messages. I understand how this works, but maybe I'm not good enough because I didn't do it. I went and raised a family and worked for the CNO Railroad or something. What do I do now? So, Kai, let's say this lady comes to you and she said, well, I dabbled when I was younger. How do you get her back on the track of not just hoodoo, but back on the track of spirituality and divination.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because I actually, just a month ago, started offering spiritual court mediumship readings. And by that I mean, you know, you can definitely ask further questions about your life, preferably general life questions, but the real purpose of these kinds of readings that I'm offering are to look at who are some of the spirits that are walking with you. Is Grandpa sticking around and sticking by your side, and is he bringing his own particular life's lessons into your life in a good way? Is a particularly, possibly even someone that you weren't related to, is that individual walking your life? What medicine or perspectives are they bringing? So when someone tells me that they've dabbled, first of all, I think dabbling is, I think it's a place where everyone starts. Hopefully it's not a place where everyone ends up in the long run, because dabbling can be dangerous. It's like kicking your foot into a river and then walking away from it, but not paying attention to, well, what did you really just stick your foot into? Sometimes there's some uncrossing. Sometimes there's that's necessary. Sometimes it's, you know, Dr. E and I have this word that we throw back and forth a lot, sancocho. And sancocho is that exact metaphor that you're always making, you know, about lasagna. did you just stick your foot into something that's a bit too crazy and mixed up for you to actually, you know, for it to even make sense on a cosmological scale? So, yeah, when someone tells me that they dabble, I do want to know what they've dabbled in. And, and you know, based on what their own spirits are telling me, the guidance of my spirits, what is the river that's best for you? What kinds of divination, what kinds of ancestral working, where is it best for you to begin walking in the stream? That is really your high
student. So you're actually offering a consultation service for people who want to stop dabbling and start swimming.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the emphasis of it is on who are the spirits that walk with you in your life. It is not a, and this is from a very spiritualist standpoint. This is not a Vodou Esco reading. This is not a Kimbanda reading. Some stuff might come up that says, hey, you know, your grandmother is stepping forward and she's showing me some medicine that speaks to this tradition, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is, who are these spirits? What is the perspective that they're bringing into your life? What is the medicine that they're bringing, and how can you honor them? Begin to ask for more of their influence to get you paddling well in your in your own stream.
That's really cool. Now, in what I've been taught is that there are certain herbs and stuff, and you all know me, I'm really into the botany end of this thing and the roots and the root work, you know. There are some herbs that we all know have a certain quality of psychic vision. For instance, a lot of people use star anise or anise, as they call it. Some use regular anise or anise, as they call it. And there's a few others that are used that way, too, to bring in visions and to open the mind, you know. Hops flowers are sometimes used to bring in good dreams so you don't get hung up in nightmares. And there's a few other of those type. Now, I love to use those, and we make up a psychic vision oil. And I've had a number of my friends, some professional root workers, say that psychic vision oil is something they like to use in their reading rooms. You know, just put a little dab in the corner of the room just to get a little scent in the room. Do you recommend the use of anything, any special roots or herbs that you know about that are used for enhancing psychic ability?
Oh, absolutely. I love star anise and anise seed. I also love working with mugwort. Mugwort tea can be a light mugwort tea, can have a wonderful effect before giving readings or before going into a mediumship session or any kind of a, I'm going to sort of open, if you use these words, open up my psychic centers kind of place. Mugwort is actually I began my path working with mugwort. Flaxseed is another wonderful plant curio that I use as well.
Out in the chat room, Aura Marie says poppy petals. That's a good one, but you got to be careful. Don't get too poppified. Archaic Honey says dandelion. That is good. And Chaos Witten says jasmine. Now, I love jasmine. And I'm allergic to mugwort. I've smoked it, and I've drank it as a tea, and I've gardened with it, and I just can't go around that plant anymore. That plant has said no to me, so no mugwort for Cat. But I really, really do like jasmine. And you were talking about the card, the Six of Cups. There's a whole little jasmine thing going on in that, in the Rider-Waite deck. Those little star jasmine flowers in that card. I like jasmine a lot, and I like the whole jasmine flowers. They're just sort of a greenish white, very pretty. It's a pale greenish white, a little green things on it. Whole dried jasmine smells good. It looks good, and I love it. It makes a really nice altar offering just to set it out, because it is very pretty. If you pick out all the really pretty dried little jasmine buds, they just look beautiful. And of course, there is incense. Jasmine scented incense is used a lot for psychic vision. What about you, Ollie? What do you like?
You know, when clients come to me for developing their abilities and asking about whether they can be professional, there's a couple things I do. First and foremost, I'll tell you about the kind of strategy, and then I'll talk about the actual specific herbs. For strategy, for me, this is just good old-fashioned earth sign Taurus. It's practice. It comes down to practice. I believe that a person who's a dabbler, and there's nothing wrong with being a dabbler, I just want to put that out there. Some people want to be that, fine. But I believe in fully and thoroughly examining a path before you go kind of wandering about and mixing and finding all sorts of things. The idea is to create a solid foundation for any type of practice. So one of the things that all the members of AIR have done here, in addition to being a variety of things, we have some people who come from the neo-pagan community, some who are in New Thought, some who are Wiccans, some who are from the African traditional religions, some who work a variety of different things. And the one thing they have in common is that the foundation of their work is that they work, they have solid foundation. And that's important for any type of practice. Anyone who's trying to develop their either abilities to have some form of foundation. So finding that divination set that you work with always, finding a tradition that resonates with your heart, and really exploring it and learning everything there is about it, spending time learning. I spent my entire childhood, I often joke with my friends, sacrificed my entire childhood to get to where I am today, to be as successful as I am today, studying hard and working hard. And it's about practice, you know. It's all about practice. It's all about sitting there and pulling cards. It's about sitting there and speaking to your spirits. It's about sitting there and working mediumship with your ancestors. And I know you say something wonderful, if I can quote you, and I hope I quote you correctly, is before you become a professional, put your shingle up, go and get 100 readings, and give 100 readings. And that's perfect. That's such when you say that, I go, oh, my wonderful forest friend over there. Because that is so practical. The idea of actually doing it over and over again is where you learn. And a lot of people have the gift, but they're sitting there and they're like ready to take clients at their first time. And I'm going, no, there's so much to learn. When it comes to actual herbs that I prescribe, for me, I find that there's a lot of herbs that enhance psychic ability. But many people have the intuition. They just need to clarify it a bit to get the right answers, to be able to see clearly, so to speak, to know if their hunches or their sight is actually leading. So in addition to including psychic herbs like star anise, mugwort, wormwood, dandelion, I include clarifying herbs like bay, which helps to clear the mind and focus it. It's that balance between the lunar herbs and bay's solar power. And basil is really, really good for something like this as well, with a little bit of masteroot. And I use that triple combination with some psychic herbs, and that helps to really develop the ability, because it gives you mastery, clear sight, in addition to intuition. And that works really well for me.
You know, you just hit on something really important, which is how a novice can tell the difference between psychic vision and fantasy land.
Yes.
And what you're talking about are some things that are grounding as well and clarifying as well as psychic. And, you know, I think that's my issue with the mugwort. The mugwort verges on marijuana, and chemically they do. And then that, to me, just sends you off into a fantasy land rather than true psychism. Although, when I was young, I used both marijuana and mugwort to enhance my ability to break loose of everyday mundane world, which was intruding on me all the time, you know. So I could break loose from it, but then I found you could also just lose your moorings and drift off, you know. So I have curtailed the use of mugwort, marijuana, and other of those psychoactives. I'm loose enough.
Break loose is a great word. Break loose is a great word for mugwort, for mugwort's medicine.
Yeah.
I remember I was taking an herbal workshop, and the teacher had us make some mugwort oil and just brought in these branches of mugwort, and we all sat around the class and we're just breaking it up and we're just singing this little ditty that she had us sing. And oh my gosh, 2 minutes in, you knew stuff about the person across the room that you couldn't have known.
Right. Well, mugwort is a remarkable plant, chemically similar to marijuana, and but legal for all of y'all who care about that stuff. It is a very powerful toxin, however, for those who are sensitized to it. So it's just one of those things. Same with myrrh, and we haven't mentioned myrrh yet, so I'm going to throw my little bit on myrrh. Myrrh is an opioid. And they always, when I was a kid, they'd always say, now don't be burning that myrrh alone. You must mix it with another resin. And they never told me why, right? And I'm telling you, when I first bought 25 pounds of myrrh, it came in a 25-pound brick. And I mean, it was like hashish, only it was myrrh, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm going to bag this stuff up, and I'm in a little closed room, and I got a hammer and a Tyvek bag, and this powder is like going into the air. And pretty soon I thought, you know, I'm not breathing right. And the next thing I knew, I was lying on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm lying on the floor going, I thought you had to smoke incense, right? I hadn't smoked it. I just been breathing the powder. And I'm lying there going, oh, God, I hope I make it to the door to open the door. And I did. But I'm telling you, that myrrh, now there is something. If you like opioids, I don't. I mean, I was thrown for a loop by that, more than poppy seeds, more than anything like that, myrrh. So there you go. But everyone has their own thing. Now, there a little discussion broke out here. Some people say marijuana is no good for psychic work, no grounding in reality. Someone says, I found the opposite to be true. But I'm going to tell you something. This depends on your individual biochemistry, right? You all know that. Your individual biochemistry, or what we might say in a shamanic sense, your individual relationship to that plant medicine. Right, Kai? Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so everybody's got their own little thing. I mean, there are people, remember, whiskey, which a lot of people, oh, that just gets you drunk. Whiskey was a sacred liquid.
That's very true.
Water of life, right? There are people
still used
from
in a variety of religions who use it to bring on possession and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Nagashiva in the chat room says these relationships can change through time. That is true. Everybody, I'm not trying to get you all to figure out ways to get legally stoned here, but I'm saying that some of the things used in psychic vision can include beer, okay? Beer, whiskey, and wine, brandy and gin, all of those things will make you see things, and for some people, that's what they need to be broke loose. You need to break loose, but you also need to be able to stay grounded enough that you can collect the fee for your reading after you've done it. Right, folks?
Very true.
All right. Well, and Nagashiva says, yes, the silver cord, TM. When I was a kid, see all these theosophists, they'd always tell you, now don't let, you know, when you're going to leave your body, you got to keep that silver cord connected or you may never come back. Did you ever hear that one, Kai? Did they ever tell you that?
Oh, absolutely. I've read that so many times.
Yeah. I once decided to try to let the silver cord break and see what would happen. I didn't come back for 4 hours. I'm not kidding. This
oh, wow.
is for real. Right. I didn't come back for 4 hours. I thought, what the hell did I just do? Couldn't get back into my body. Couldn't get nowhere. I love the silver cord thinking. I mean, it was a way to keep me from drifting away, you know, too far. And, you know, you don't want to end up just being mundane, and you don't want to end up just being some sort of a homeless vagrant. It's somewhere between the crazy person who talks to herself on the trolley car and the brilliant anthropologist, you know. somewhere.
Well, there's a balance between crazy prophet wandering in the woods and, you know, accountant.
Yeah, accountant.
Find that,
yeah.
That nice balance between where the respectable, grounded, crazy vision you're good.
And you know where that balance is found? When you can build your own model railroad.
I knew you were going to say that.
You knew I was going to say that. You know me real well.
This is a psychic.
Well, you know, strict operations. All right. Well, we've been talking here a little bit long, but that was fun. Let's let Miss Tammy Lee bring in some guests here, and we can do some readings and prescribe some root work for our wonderful audience.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am, it's Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali. And this week's special guest, Kyra Mann, will be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you fill out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to our first caller, and our first caller is calling back in from area code 323 from California. This is Sashi 78. Sashi, are you there, caller?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back. Hi. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know. We've actually got two sign-ups for you, so I'm just going to go ahead and just brief them that you actually have been in a relationship and you had recently written about that you'd like to know if you should pursue it and is he good for me. And basically he's tight with money with you, and you also write in a description for a host, my boyfriend and I had an argument a week ago, excuse me, and he ended the relationship. Previous to the argument, I made a doll baby so that he could be more attentive and sweeter. Since the argument, I've been working with it and also have made a honey jar. I used personal concerns in both things that I did. Will my conjure work for his return to me? Turning it back over to you.
Wow. All right. So when you first signed up, you were just asking, was this a good relationship because he was tight with money, and then y'all had a fight and he broke it off with you and you're trying to get him back.
Yes.
So you've already decided that this relationship is worth it, so you didn't need the first reading. Now we're just on to how do we mend fences,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. I realized it afterward that it was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I
you have
some movement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. And, you know, by the way, just speaking of being a professional psychic reading, see, this is the kind of thing, sometimes the client is in the period between, you know, posting that one thing and the next, you can already see she's made her decision that, and good for you. You made your decision, you're going to go for it, and you don't have any second thoughts. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, instead, we're going to talk about what's the prospects of getting him back. Now, you said you've been doing some work and you've seen some movement. May you just give me a couple of answers to a couple of questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Aries.
What sign of the zodiac is he?
Virgo.
All right. That's why he's tight with money. So, they are. They tend to be kind of orderly with their purse strings. And when you say some movement, he's back to talking to you? Has he dated you again? Have you had sex again? What happened?
Yes. He texted me and we saw each other last night.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
He sent me a text and, you know, we met up and we saw each other last night.
Oh, good. All right. So we're happening again. We're back on the road again. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me see what I can do here as far as reading. Whoa. All right. Well, the first card is a lousy card. First card is the Six of Swords. This is a man sending a woman away across the river, or maybe helping her get away across the river. Maybe she asks to get moved away. But it's a ferryman sending a woman across the river. This is a card that says that he was kind of pushing you away, and it might have been okay. But there was sorrow, the Six of Swords in the boat. It's a sad card. This is a card of the past. That didn't work out too well for either of you. The next card is a card of healing and regeneration. It's called the Ace of Wands. Now, I had asked a question, and you kind of, you know, implied the answer here. I said, you know, how far back were you together? Had you seen each other? Had you had sex? Ace of Wands is a good card for physical effort, health, sexuality, the idea of renewal. This wand is like a club of cut wood that's bursting into leaf. But remember, when you make a cutting of a plant and it bursts into leaf, if it doesn't root, it's not going to go anywhere. So this is that moment where you have that possibility of regeneration, but now you're going to literally have to put some root tone on those little baby roots and get that thing growing again. But it's a very good card as far as that goes. And the third card I have for you is a little bit of a card of some warning. You may run up against the same problem again, okay? And the reason I say that is that the third card is the Hanged Man. So whatever hung him up in the first place, you can get this thing, you know, sprouted again. You're doing good. But you're going to have to get some sort of a solid basis. Now, the Hanged Man, interesting enough, is also on a sort of a weirdly sprouted kind of T-shaped gallows. He's hung upside down. And that's a card that shows some difficulty freeing himself. So you may end up thinking, this guy's not free enough anyway. But what we've got here is what I'd call a, you know, when you look at the three cards, you could call that kind of a mediocre reading, but I'm focusing on that Ace of Wands and saying, you got the power, baby. You got the power. Just, boom, bring that thing back. Springtime comes again. But you got to have to figure out how to untie the bound parts of him if you're really ever going to be happy, because it'll just come back. It'll just come up again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Let me turn this over to Kai. What do you see, hon?
I see the exact same thing here. The first card I get is just like yours. It's the Six card. I get the Six of Coins. And in it, a man is holding a balance scale that is very, very even. He is making sure that his profit and loss is always balanced. And he's handing money to paupers who are on their knees. This is a card that when it shows up in relationships, I often see this card as someone being very tit for tat. Relationships should be, I think that a good romantic relationship should be overflowing with an abundance of love and trust. Trust that I give so much because this person gives to me so openly and freely. This card speaks to someone who doesn't have that mindset. This card speaks to someone who's very, very nervous. It really does speak to that kind of Virgo energy. This is not to say that Virgos can't be wonderful romantic partners, but the Virgo propensity for that kind of astuteness is showing up very strongly here. The next card I have here is the Two of Wands. The Two of Wands card, I call this the Columbus card. We have a public space tomorrow. This is a bright open vision. There's a new possibility. What was lost can be regained. And in this period of seeming loss, there's some personal power gained as well. A bit wider vision regarding your relationship, regarding romance for yourself as well. Last part I have here, though, just as Kat said, him being bound up in those same habits, I get the Ten of Wands. It's literally, in this card, you don't even see the man's face. His head is so buried in these ten wands that he's carrying as he's hunched over. This is a card of overwhelm. This is a part of, I would say, not even just a particular habit, but possibly other habits that in the past you were okay to look over. Now that things have gotten a bit strenuous, you might have said, okay, I'm really, really, you know, I really just want this person back. But once this sort of newfound vision that you have right now regarding your life and him in it, clears and you do have him again, because again, I do see a strong possibility for you getting him back. These things that you were able to pass over before, you're not going to be able to pass over them again. I see that you're going to have the same issue plus a bit more, and that you're most likely going to see in the long run that this isn't something that you feel really serves your own desire for that sense of free, overflowing love.
Okay. All righty. Well, Ali, what do you recommend here?
You know, what I would say is, you know, both Kat and Kai have indicated that there's a chance that the issues that kind of tore you two apart may return once more. So be aware of those. I would do continue your reconciliation work, you know, do your work since you've gotten some movement. There's some hope that two East Wands are a really good card. And see if you guys can talk it out. Communication is going to be very important for the two of you, and see if you can resolve the issue and address the problem. And then if not, you need that'll kind of be your answer on what you need to do. You already said you, even before the breakup, you were quite unsure about him because it's, you know, he was a little bit tight towards you, both in terms of emotions and financially, right? So let's see if we can get him untight emotions. So working your doll baby is excellent. I highly recommend it. Be very sweet, be very objective. Doll baby work can be a bit coercive, so it's very important that the person who is already a little bit tight, you don't want to kind of browbeat them into doing what you want them to do. That doesn't work well. They tend to tighten up even further and withdraw. A lot of sweetening with that doll baby. You might want to make a mixture of sugar, deer's tongue, rose petals, damiana, and rest the doll baby on that bed while you work with it. All right? So that it's always surrounded by sweets. That's one way of working with that doll baby. You can also wrap it in your underwear, which is whose underwear perfectly, which is really good, so that all he can see is you and all he wants be with you. The other thing I would really recommend here, and this is in addition to the work that you've got going on, and in addition to the changes that I have or alterations I've suggested, is a red skull candle in this particular work. Or, you know, a white one will work as well. I prefer red in this particular working. And what you're going to do is you're going to carve out the bottom of it. You're going to put in some herbs along with your hair. If you have it, damiana, rose petals, balms of Gilead for healing. I also want you to put violet leaves. And then you're going to put the wax and you're going to seal it up one more time. And you're going to set this on a photo of his. Then you're going to take cuba berries and you're going to stud the candle. Now, when I mean stud, you're going to take a little bit of a nail, baptize it. First, baptize it in his name, in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. You are now so-and-so. Carve your intent on the back. Carve whatever you want to say, what you want him to think and feel. Carve right on there. Then you're going to stud the candle with cuba berries. You take a little nail, you heat it up, you make a little hole, and you stick a cuba berry in there. And with each one that you stick in there, you say whatever issues we have are being overcome, whatever resistance you have is removed. Cuba berries is really good for making people willing to be in love. So someone who may have feelings but are holding back, cuba berry address. Juniper does the exact same thing as well. So you can use either one in that. Then what you're going to get is you're going to get just a little bit of honey, and you're going to carve out the eyes of the skull candle, the ears, and the mouth. You have a little bit of honey in the ears so that all he hears is sweet words. You're going to put a little bit of honey in the eyes so that all he sees is sweetness towards you. And then you're going to take the honey and mix it with a little bit of deer's tongue and put that into the mouth that you've carved so that all he says is sweet things about you. And you're going to light that candle while he's asleep, and you're going to work that candle every night, speaking to his spirit, speaking to that candle, again, sweetly, gently, encouragingly, and work that candle over 7 days in addition to the other work that you've got going on. And that should help address the obstacles. Now, that doesn't mean he's overnight going to become open and honest, but it will give you a chance to at least talk about your issues and sweetly. And that's where you take it from there is entirely up to you. Okay?
Okay. All righty. Well, I think you have some ideas here of the limitations, but also some ideas of some really good things to do. I'm going to just throw in one more little idea here, and that is you want pleasure and love, and you want to have a person who is going to be easy to mold. I know y'all Aries, you know, you're good leaders. If this person, because what both Kai and I read, and also I think what Ali is sensing too, this isn't about like make this person do what I want. You might just want to sit back and go, is this the person I want? Which was the first question that you already did not, mm-hmm. we chose not to answer. So think about that and think about getting clarity in your own mind. How much work are you going to do on this person? Because they may be a little bit off spec for you. That's all. I'm not trying to discourage you, but they may be just a little off spec. On the other hand, if you can bring them around, and they're willing to go with it. Virgos are a great catch. I mean, it's a good person for you. Okay.
Yeah, he is a good person. It's just like I said, how much work am I willing to put into it?
Yeah, right. Well, Kai mentioned the Two of Wands, which is this Christopher Columbus card with the two parallel wands. When that card comes up, I always think of something that my husband Nagashiva said. He said, I wasn't looking for a bird that I'd just fly into in the middle of the sky and we'd both just drop out of the sky. He goes, I was looking to a bird that was flying parallel to me and we could just see how much more parallel we could get.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, huh? Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Well, good luck to you, baby. Okay. All right. Well, let's give it back over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Cat, and y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is LaShondra. And LaShondra is calling in from area code. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, 904 LaShondra. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Great. Well, welcome back to the show. Hi, sweetie. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that welcome back, certainly. You were on in 2010 and also 2012, and you're calling in with a decision maker, it sounds like, and I'm going to go ahead and read what you've written. We had two very short posts from you, and I just went over both of them, and she writes, I'm very interested in joining the Army and looking for some insight on getting in successfully. And I'd like to join the Army and would like, and basically she wants to go ahead and find the best way to get into the Army. Turning it back over to you.
All right, sweetheart. Well, that's a great question. I'm going to ask you a couple questions just so I get some clarity on this. How old are you, hon?
I'm 30.
30. And you've never been in the military before?
No.
Okay. And you want to know how to get in. I'm going to tell you I could solve your problem in about 30 seconds, but I'm not going to do it because you're here to get a reading. So let's have Ali talk to you.
I'm very interested in hearing what Kat has to say. Well, Tammy Lee was reading. I was looking at my ring, and I'm scrying with it. And unfortunately, the signs I'm getting in the ring are not particularly positive in this case. I do see a wall here indicating that there is going to be serious obstacles towards getting into the Army. More importantly, I see you bound and chained, and it looks like the Army may not exactly be what you thought it would be, or being in the Army may not be the route that is most ideal for you. There are tons here. It seems that the issue that you're going to have the most is adjusting and acclimating to the new environment. Being in the Army is often quite stressful, and it also is very tightly knit. If you don't get along with the people that you work with in the Army, it can be hell. It really can. And that's what I see here, is that there is going to be a lot of issues. There's going to be regret, especially in regards to, one, even getting in, a very serious wall that I see there, and then the wagging tongues of colleagues, wagging tongues of the people around you who just may not take a liking to you, and you may not take a liking to them, and you may not acclimate properly to them. You will find this quite stressful, and it will become a burden, and that's the chains that I see on you, the bindings that I see on you, that you are a bit trapped. If you were asking, you know, should I join the army, my ring, generally, I would say, great, it's great service to our country, it's wonderful, but my reading is indicating there are some problems here, and you need to be careful. If you still are intent on going into the army, you'd want to do a lot of root work here to smooth the way, deal with gossip, deal with sweetening people so that you are accepted and part of the group, because I sense here that there's going to be group issues quite a bit. There's also an older male figure, which I would assume is probably a leader of some sort, that you're going to butt some serious heads with, and that's going to be a problem. So definitely
is it because I'm trying to go in as an officer, and you know, as an officer you have to have a degree, and a lot of times when you don't work your way up to the rank, people don't look up to you, they look down on you.
Well, it's the same as a lot of professions. When you are promoted from within a company, there's always tension there, but at least there's like, okay, we know this person. But when someone is kind of promoted from outside, and that's what officer training is, kind of there with a degree, and you're all of a sudden someone's officer who hasn't, you know, seen you kind of work the ranks or earn your stripes, so to speak, right? There's tension, and they think that they know better with you, and they butt heads. So there is going to be that group mentality that explains the wagging tongue and the older male that you're going to bump heads with. It may be a superior officer or someone who is parallel to you who thinks they know better and doesn't think that you're going to be worthy of that particular position. But this is a very serious problem. My scrying does not indicate a lot of fortune here and a lot of success. So we're going to see, you know, what my colleagues see in their readings, and then what can be done if you are still intent on going down this particular route. But thank you for confirming what my readings saw.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right. Alrighty. What I was going to say is a little bit more on the practical side, and I'm going to be real honest here. We are in the middle of winding down our military involvement overseas, and they are looking for people who are already in place to keep their places in place. So you're going to have to bring a lot to the table as a person who's 30, never been in the military, because it is a good old person's network. And I think that's what Ollie was seeing, too, is a little bit of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what I was going to say, though, is I was going to give you a whole other way of looking at this, and when I do divination for people, sometimes I already just have the answer, right? My answer to you is this. I know one person in air who has had a brilliant lifetime military career, and you know who she is, Michelle Jackson, right? You know her?
No, I'm not familiar with her.
All right, well, you just go look at air, and you just go find Michelle Jackson, okay?
That's a woman. I remember seeing her name.
Yeah. Right. That's a woman who has had a military career, 30-some years in the Navy, okay? Black woman who was an officer, okay? Now she's an artist, and she's got so many different things going on. She's a very good reader. If I was you, I wouldn't be calling me. What do I know about the military? I'm an old hippie who used to stand around and say, you know, hey, LBJ, how many babies did you kill today, right? I didn't like the military. So what you want to do is find someone who has a line of life that is similar to where you want to be. I'm going to say, if I could, I'd pay for you to go get a reading with Michelle Jackson right now. That's my answer, because she stands where you want to go. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Retired successfully as a captain in the Navy. Okay?
Mm.
So you get a reading from that lady. That's the lady who you want, not some old hippie lady. Okay? I know that sounds. I'm not trying to back out. Now, as far as I am going to pull one card, and the one card I'm pulling is a troubled card, and it's sort of similar to what was being said previous already. This card is a card that is called the Emperor, and this is old man guarding a rocky pass, sort of a rocky desert. And he's a brave man. He's a man who has won many a battle in his day. And he's loyal, very loyal to his people who have served him. But he's also a tough, no-nonsense, you know, old buzzard is what he is. That emperor energy is going to guard the past that will not let you in unless you can make peace with it. In other words, you're not going to be able to go around this emperor. This is a man who either approves you or doesn't. And this is a guy who came up through the ranks. And this has to do with what we were saying before about how you want to go in as an officer. This guy was a knight. Then he has the armor of a knight. Then he has the robe of a king. Then he has this purple cloak of the emperor thrown over. So he's gone through the stages of life that led him to the command position he has. And
so if I go in just active, as you know, enlist instead of going as an officer, it'll be easier for me.
I didn't say that.
Just be aware too, because I even before you get to that point, I do see a wall. But even getting in might be a little bit of a problem at this point in time.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to get the lay of the land. Like I said, I'm going to recommend you get a reading from Michelle Jackson with this as your goal. What can I do, Michelle Jackson, to get where I want to go, and just see what she says. This is a woman who's had hundreds of people under her command and happens to be an expert. Like if you were going to ask me about garden railroads, right, and say, Miss Kent, how am I going to, I will be able to tell you. But Michelle Jackson, she's the one who can tell you literally about your question on a practical as well as a spiritual level. All right? Now let's talk about root work, because there is root work to be done on your behalf too. So let's turn this over to Kai. What would you do, Kai, to break down the barriers, open the doors, open the road for this lady?
Well, I think that this is a situation that would really benefit from some fire magic, so focusing on candle work in particular. I usually, when I am prescribing root work, I will pull a card or two just to see what kind of work would be most helpful. And the card I pulled was the Knight of Wands, which speaks both to what you and Ali, Conjurman Ali, were talking about in terms of this noviceness under such an esteemed individual as the emperor, but it also speaks to being a wands card fire to burn down whatever walls are in the way. Not literally, but really take care and take out these obstacles. I would suggest focusing on success candle, preferably yellow, with bay leaf and frankincense and five-finger grass. And a continuation of these, you can even write down on the bay leaf, may my gifts and my talents and leadership outshine my faults, outshine my my noviceness. And you could even place those, you could either write on them and crumble them inside the vigil light, or you could place them under the vigil light. I would add frankincense, that your helping spirits and positive spirits and guides be with you, clearing the road, making sure that you have foresight regarding anything that's ahead that could stand in your way, as well as five-finger grass, which is wonderful for attaining that which you want, as well as kind of dominating circumstances, putting circumstances beneath your feet. If you wanted to, and you were new to, you could even place some of these herbs, particularly bay or five-finger grass, in a name paper in your shoe if you felt like you needed to get someone underneath your feet or get a circumstance underneath your feet so that you were walking tall on top of it. But even more so, my own guides are pointing directly at focus on candles. Focus on strong, good candle magic. Look at the signs that show up in the wax or in the glass of any candles that you're burning, and continue it. Continue it throughout this path, if this path does really open up to you, so that you are standing above any gossip that comes up, any legalities, any kind of issue that can stand in the way, that you're always successful and shining brightly despite or in spite of the circumstances.
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, good luck to you. And I really do hope that you take the few steps here that we've outlined. I think that some clarity will be a good idea. Call Michelle Jackson. Definitely work on personal success, as Kai said. I think those are the things that you need to do. It's a possibility, and you won't know until you take it. Okay. And good luck to you. Best of luck to you. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank
all right.
you.
Sure, okay. All right, let's turn it over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And, y'all, we have about 26 minutes left in the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rework Hour. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rework Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you'll get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Condiment Ali of ConjumentAli.com, and this week's special guest, Kai Armand of Conjure in the City in Berkeley, California. And thank you once again. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code 704. This is LaShondra. LaShondra, are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, did I pick up the right caller? This is 704?
I'm 704, but it's Moschino.
Okay, Moschino. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I looked at my notes a little bit differently. Okay, Moschino, and then it's Shiera? Is that how you wanted your name?
Shakia.
Okay, I'm sorry, and it's totally my fault. Here we go. Okay, Moschino 23, Shakia, here we go. Okay, and he writes, I was previously having problems with my children's mom and fighting to get custody since she vindictively took them out of state against my will to live. Ms. Kat told me that she was crazy and unstable and was using her power to do what she wants to. She's divorced from an athlete who blessed her financially in the divorce. Her kids from marriage now lives with the father, and she's uprooted them also. She can't have any unsupervised visits with them through court and therapy orders. I have a great relationship with her ex and her kids, and the only time all the kids get to see each other is when I have our kids. Then all the kids get into their sibling mode. My kids' mom has started to throw tricks against me. I got arrested. I lost my apartment. I can't land a job. And all this took place right before we were to have a permanent custody hearing, which the ex, her kids, friends, and therapists were willing to witness for me. Please help. I did a 10-minute reading with Lou Flores in August and saw that a reversal was needed. And I also did a mirror box and buried it. And can you tell me, is it taking place? And what else is needed to overcome this hell that I'm facing? Ooh, turning it back over to you.
All right. Wow, that's a heavy-duty situation, hon. And I do remember reading for you before, and this was a complex situation. And
yeah, it's
glad,
been a couple of years.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're still hanging in there and still working at it. All right, we're going to have Kai take the first reading on this. Go ahead on, Kai.
Absolutely. Well, you asked a couple of questions in this. You were wondering, is the root work that I've done going to be successful? And you're also sort of wondering how this, you're also seem to be wanting to know what's going on now. Am I correct?
Yes. I recently did the mirror box and pop it, and I buried it and just wanted to know, is it starting to take, be effective and take place, and what else is needed to overcome this?
All right, what else do we need to overcome this? Well, I know that I believe either Ali or Kat are going to be able to jump in on the root work, but I can definitely give you some clarity regarding some things that are going on right now. So the first card I get here is the Knight of Swords card. When this card shows up, usually tells me that there is some kind of a war taking place. So that means that you, having done this reversing work, yes, it was done correctly. energy is moving on your defense right now, which is, of course, wonderfully positive. We get the Knight of Swords card, which, again, yes, war. There's a war at place, but both sides are active. You are not simply a victim lying down taking things. I know that you've been through a lot, but you have finally come across the people who can help you and given you very good advice, and you are definitely going in the right direction at this point. The next card I get here is the Queen of Swords. I'm sorry?
No, I was about to say that's good news.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely good news. I mean, the war itself isn't the best news. We want things to be, you know, peaceful and blessed, but sometimes you got to fight fire with fire, and it looks like, you know, you're doing that. The next card I get here is the Queen of Swords. The Queen of Swords shows a woman who's sitting on a throne holding a large sword and having a very stern face. Now, the thing that my spirits are telling me is that, yes, your ex is throwing tricks at you, but I also do believe that there is another woman that she is working with or who is coaching her or help sort of standing alongside her, believes in her cause, and they are kind of being a bit manic together. I'm not exactly sure who you put in the reversing work or who you targeted it to. I would suggest it wouldn't be a bad idea to, say, do another reversing work or keep it going, adding names or adding individuals as you see fit, as is necessary, just to make sure that all targets are moving
Not to cut you off, I just want to make a note that when I did do the mirror box, I specifically addressed her and all enemies that was working against me. So, because I kind of had an idea that, you know, she was getting coached with this situation. So I kind of specifically did her along with all enemies that was working against me.
Excellent. Good. Excellent. Very, very good. Good thinking. and I think that that's why I get the last card I get here, which is the Empress card. And I was pulling it literally just as you were saying, oh, when, you know, and my kids come together and the other kids, you know, it's just like siblings. And it sounds like, wow, what a home, what a loving, nurturing space. And that's exactly what the Empress card is. It speaks to you having the family, the positive family dynamic that it looks like you actually do want to be occurring, that you really are the one who is in favor of love and abundance and a comforting, nurturing place for yourself and for the children you watch over. And it looks very strongly that you're going to achieve that. I want to say that you're going to achieve that before 2013 is over. I do strongly believe that. I think that the next couple of months are going to be a bit trying. Again, you are at war, but I think that as the next couple of months unfold, you're going to find things getting easier. You're going to find things falling into place. You're going to find there to be greater clarity, things moving on your side. And that, again, with this card showing up, the very things that you're feeling that you're being denied, especially a loving home, are going to fall right in your lap, and you're going to really feel like you're in a place of balance.
That is so good to hear, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hearing you say that, man, I'm getting goosebumps, and I put in a lot of work, and, you know, and I've been going through hell, and you know, it's kind of, you know, tearing me up, because I've actually, you know, I'm not doing it to be mean. I just want to be a part of my kid's life, and, you know, I had a, you know, I talked to Miss Cat about it a while back, and, you know, it's just been a long, ongoing thing with this woman, man, and she's just, you know, just doing things vindictively, and, you know, when I'm, you know, my kids, they're only 4 and 5, and I hate, you know, to see them. And last time I saw them, you know, my oldest is 5 years old, and she goes, Dad, you know, my mom, mom tells us that, you know, guys have penises and you know, stuff like that for a 5-year-old. And you know, yeah. I'm not around them, and it just kind of, it's scary, man. I just want to be a father to my kids, man, but she is just using her power to, like, do what she wants, man. I'm just sick and tired of it, and it just got to stop.
We hear you. Go ahead on.
I also, what I was just sort of, I understand you completely. I think that in this time it would strongly serve you not to give. I know that you've been going through this for a long time, but not to give the people that you're working against or that you're working in your own defense against more power than they deserve.
Because the Queen of Swords card
is showing that a lot of their power is in their talk. A lot of their power is in their ability to go off the handle suddenly but that the strong power, the actual dedication that you've been showing as you've been dealing with the situation, that's in your lap.
Yeah. When I meant power, I didn't mean spiritually. I meant that, you know, this is a woman that never, ever had a job. You know, she's financially blessed because she married an athlete and they got divorced. She's never had a job. And, you know, she just well off that way. That's what I mean by power. She you know, she moved just to meet be vindictive because, you know, oh, I can pick the kids up and move. She got enough money to go and build a house from the ground up. She don't have to work. That's what I mean by power. But I am determined to, you know, excuse my language, but just break her whole fucking wall down, man. This is just, you know, I'm tired of it, and my kids deserve, you know, they deserve more than that, you know, and to have me in their life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see what Ali has to say here.
Well, I've done a geomantic reading, which kind of gives me a good look at your entire situation, finances, all of that. Interestingly, the first figure that comes up in the first house is Rubius. Rubius is the cup overturned. In traditional geomantic readings, this is such a negative sign that a lot of, especially European geomancers, would tear up the chart and say they can't read right now. I come from a school of thought where we do actually read the chart even if Rubius comes up in the first house, but it does warn that your situation is not over. Be aware that health impact, your health will be impacted first and foremost, and that the war is not entirely over. While you have been successful, as Kai has indicated, that there is still a lot of upheaval ahead of you, and that now your situation needs to turn towards not just dealing with the person, but bringing your life back into order and bringing that goblet back right side up. So that's very important. Rubies to the first house means your life is a bit of a disarray. You need to deal with things like you got arrested. That's going to be an issue with things like custody. That's going to be an issue with things like getting a job, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to focus primarily on getting your life back together. It does pass into the fifth house, the house of children. That's the key here. In order to get your children, in order to be successful now, you need to be able to successfully shift your focus from waging war to building your life back up, to bringing your life back into harmony and balance, and focusing heavily on getting a job, making sure your finances are good. If you have a job, making sure that you're financially secure, making sure that you can deal legally with this situation. Also bear in mind that this is going to take a toll on your children. You will find that emotionally, in the next probably month or so, there's going to be some emotional signs that you'll see of your children suffering from this situation, unfortunately. But you need to be the rock. If they're going, if your enemies are flying off the handle, you need to make sure that you, in front of your children, you're not playing that game, okay? That mom is like this, mom is like that. You need to be able to be the rock, the bigger person a little bit, while you handle them legally and magically, okay? Because your kids are looking for a rock right now. And the five, the Rubius in the fifth house is telling you need to be that rock. I do see that your magical work was successful. This is the eighth house, which we have populous. It says success. This is, you know, a figure of being successful, but it's also a figure of the crowd, indicating that you need to call in some help now. And that help passes into the fourth house. The other ex, the other father, so to speak, is going to be a really big help here. You need to be able to kind of work with him in this situation, figuring out what's going on, speaking to him, strategizing, so to speak, and working towards you guys creating a family with the siblings, right?
Not to cut you off. Let me say something real quick. Like, me and the father, her ex, he's remarried now, and every time I have the kids, we all get together. Like last Thanksgiving, we did
that's
dinner.
Fine.
And
you said that you gotta hold on. I know you have a lot to say, but you gotta let us finish. We only have so much time, and you called in for a reading, not to preach. All right, so hold on. I get
what you're saying.
I totally understand that you guys get together, and that's why he is your ally, and that's reflected in this particular chart. Populous passing into the fourth house is good. It means that this is great. The fact that you guys get together, populous, a crowd, a get-together, is excellent. But now you have to use it to your advantage. You have to make sure that you can find a way of working that legally. He can stand up as a representative for you, he can stand up as a testimony for you, a witness for you, in any type of legal proceeding. Absolutely consider that. The next thing that you need to focus on is making sure that legally everything is handled. Okay, and that's where that populace kind of leads to. You've already handled things magically. This person and their enemies have been put away. Now focus on rebuilding your life, being the rock for your family, finding the ally that you need in this other father, which you already have, but you need to actually actively use it. Not just get together. The populace is great. It's a crowd. You guys get together. But now that's passive. You need to make that into action. You make that into strategy. And then legally ensuring that everything's fine. That is where you're going to go going forward. And that's what my chart says. And if you do that, you will be successful in this case. But now is the time to shift away from kind of the mindset of waging war and breaking down walls and all that type of stuff. You've already got that covered. Now it's time to fix your life and invite the children kind of back in there and get them back. So I'm going to turn this over to Kat to see what you can actually do magically going forward to address these things.
All right. Thank you both for that reading. You've all made it my job real easy because I can see very clearly here. Number one, I'm just going to ask you a real question. Are all the legal matters settled right now around you square with the law right now?
No, I still have... As far as the temporary custody thing,
yeah,
we were supposed to go back to court because, like, my oldest daughter, she just turned 5, so I was getting her every couple weeks. But since she had to go to pre-K, you know, now I only get to see her when she's on her, you know, breaks or whatever. So
no, that wasn't what I was asking. What I was asking, I'm talking about. You said you'd been arrested, and I'm asking, are you all clean? Are you all squared up with the law on that case, your arrest? I mean, you've done whatever happened?
It's still in limbo. It's, you know, the attorney's looking at it as, you know, they're going to drop the case. I went to court, like, twice, and they keep putting
it
off.
Okay, all right.
But...
So I'm just following through on what was said. See,
okay.
this is your weakness, right? This is your weakness, and you must... This is a two-headed beast you're fighting here. One is the memory of the past and the way this woman done you dirty, but the other is you got caught in some legal situation that she, you know, probably put you in, but that now you got to clean that up too. So you got to work on both. Don't spend all your time just working on getting the kids, but you also got to get that legal thing cleaned up, whatever it takes. Drop the case, you know, pay the fine, do the time, take the probation, go to whatever, you know, just whatever that is part A. And what you want to do is find someone to work with or maybe coach you through or look up online some good legal root work. You're going to want the following things. You're going to want Little John Chu, which is called Court Case Root, and you're going to want Sumac Berries, S-U-M-A-C, Sumac berries,
okay,
which are used for mercy of the court, and
okay,
you're going to want to do some court case stuff around getting that. Just clean that away. Just clean it away. Whatever it takes to whatever little mountain has to be moved. Move that mountain. Okay. Now that's
okay.
Part one. Part two is don't refight the battle. Okay. Don't refight the battle with the rich bitch. She done won what she won. She's blessed the way she's blessed, and she swings the way she swings. Just let her be. What you want to focus on is bonding with the children so that they ask for daddy, so that they will not be contented to say, oh yeah, I used to have a dad, but you know, we don't see him no more. You want to do everything you can to make your mark spiritually upon those children. I want you to make a little altar space for them, their pictures. I want you to spend a moment in meditation and prayer every night when you would be putting them to bed, at the time they would be going to bed, whatever state they're in, whatever state you're in, you're going to spend that time putting them to bed in your mind. You know, hug and kiss and you know, ruffle their little hair or whatever it is you want to do, and listen to their little stories about what happened to them in the day. Just spend five minutes in your mind and connect
okay
with them. When they fall asleep, they'll be dreaming of daddy, okay? Dreaming of
okay
daddy. Stay in touch every which way you can. If you send them a present, dress it, right? Put a little bit of scent on it that becomes associated with daddy, whatever that scent is. And different people use different scents. It can be a success scent. It can be a love scent. But if it's for children, sometimes just a protection. Don't make it something harsh smelling. It could be just any kind of scent that just sort of like when they smell that thing, they go, that reminds me of my dad, right? Okay? and you send them little gifts always dressed with that same scent. It's like focusing them. Okay, that's what I would recommend for you right now. I could go on, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, because we're going to have to go to our free spell, and we're going to be short on that. But good luck to you,
yes,
Anne. All right,
all the best. Thank you so much.
All right.
And y'all, we've got just about, here we go, 6 minutes left in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rook Hour, which is hosted each week by Contra Mental Lee and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Kyra Mond of Conjure in the City in Berkeley, California, for our free spell section. Kyra Mond.
Absolutely, and it's totally fine that we have the amount of time that we have, because the spell I'm going to offer is a very simple one. This is one I suggest for clarity. If anyone was at my talk at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival in May, one thing that I kept bringing up was not just doing spiritual work to attract things to yourself, but also doing spiritual work to make sure that you're seeing any ways in which you are limiting yourself, whether that is through your action, through your relationships, or through your mindset, really putting yourself in a place where you are totally free and clear and in good conscience that there is nothing that you are doing that stands in the way of whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. So one thing I suggest in Issues of All Clarity is an egg cleansing. And this is an egg cleansing that is specifically for your eyes. Now, this can be done without any calling on any outside spiritual help, but I think it's wonderful to do it in front of an ancestor altar, because this is an issue of cleansing. This is an issue of clarity, especially if you have an ancestor altar that particularly you want to dress with a white cloth. Taking an egg, going in front of your ancestor altar, or just, you know, if you don't have an ancestral practice, that's fine, but just taking that egg, speaking to it, asking, you know, any veils that are over my eyes, any cobwebs in my mind, any recesses of my mind or my willpower or my life that I have refused to see, that are standing in the way of what I really want, that are standing in the way of my path, remove them. And just passing that egg, going in a downwards fashion in front of your eyes, imagining cobwebs, imagining darkness, imagining smoke, leaving your mind, leaving your eyes, entering the egg. As you're doing this, you're going to get to a place where you feel, wow, I feel kind of clean. That's awesome. Once you do that, you can either take that directly to a crossroads and smash it, walking away without looking back, or you might choose to leave it on an ancestor altar overnight before doing so. The next thing I would suggest is making a light tea using the herb eyebright. Eyebright is wonderful for clarity, for vision, for seeing, not just medically, but also spiritually. Making a light tea of that, putting out a small bowl if you wanted to, you could put it on your ancestor altar, or you could just leave it out, and for 3 days, passing that over your eyes, praying that you see that you have perfect vision in your life and in your will.
Wow, that was great. Thank you so much, Kai. Eyebright. Eyebright is an amazing herb, and very good to wash the eyes with. That is so true, spiritually and medically. All right, let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you so much, Miss Kat, and Conjure Mental Lee, and thank you, Kyramon of ConjureInTheCity.com in Berkeley, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Mental Lee at ConjureMentalLee.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleConCounter.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you, Ollie. And thank you so much, Kai. It was just lovely to spend time with you on the radio.
It
You're
was.
A great root worker.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you that was some good stuff there. I really like that. All right. We're going to be back next week. I'm going to be hanging around in the chat room just a short time. Any of all of you who are model railroaders, we all come out and find me on Facebook at my Facebook page. Remember, it's the Tweetsy Railroad, ETNWNC. So y'all think I'm nuts, but I won't bring it up again. This is it.
Very exciting. Be sure to stop by in a couple hours to the Soul Revolution
right.
to hear me talk about Sentir Muerte. I will actually not be sticking around in the chat.
That's right. Sentir Muerte. Oh, and October 19th, Mystic Fair in Santa Rosa, California. Okay, good night, all.
Bye-bye, all.
Good night.